Hey, ding-dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, the political comedy podcast in which I, Jamie, a politically innocent but curious young man, have the complicated political happenings of the world explained to me by my politically savvy friend, Richard Lamb.
That's me. And if you hear any tiny snorting noises, it's because we're recording this at my apartment, which we normally record at Jamie's, and I have a tiny bulldog. So she's excitedly sniffing Jamie's legs right now, and you may just hear her snorting away throughout the episode.
She's got a lot to say.
That's right.
And nobody listens.
I know, but her ideas, man. Her ideas. Oh, I got so many ideas to tell you.
I want to tell you about a screenplay.
Yeah. Okay, so Jamie, what is it you want to know about this week?
I want to know about Ezra Levant and Rebel Media.
Ooh. Okay, great. Yeah, I was very, very unhappy to get this topic because even though I really want to talk about it, I knew that I'd have to
research
and listen to Rebel Media in order to do it, which was an extremely unpleasant experience. So fuck you very much for picking it.
Hey, you're welcome. It was almost completely random.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so yeah, this is obviously a nuclear level topic right now in Canada. Everyone's talking about Rebel Media, and everyone should be talking about Rebel Media because they are becoming a pretty important part of our cultural landscape in a way that's really creepy and terrifying, and that we should all be educated on and keeping track of. I should also take this moment to say that Ezra Levant is famous for just pulling the trigger on suing people for libel. So everything I'm saying is my own opinion, or it comes from the hard work of many other journalists who have been working a lot on Ezra's story and the story of Rebel Media. And those journalists include the fine folks at Canada Land, the National Post, Vice, and the Globe and Mail, and the CBC, who have all been doing great reporting on this. And I encourage you to check out their coverage of it.
All that being said, very good point, and I would like to add on top of that that I know definitely that Ezra Levant picks his own butt and licks his fingers.
In fact, he calls it Ezring.
Ezring. Ezring.
All right. What do you say we hit this theme song, James?
What do you say, Dolores the Bulldog?
She's sniffing the couch now.
That means yes.
Hey!
Good idea, Dolores.
Yeah, you're right. It was a good idea to do this topic. Okay, so Jamie, what do you know about Rebel Media?
Well, we talk about them sometimes in the alt-right safari, so I know that they are sort of a new right media source, very libertarian. Libertarian is maybe the wrong word. I used it last time. It's like, very alt-righty. My opinion is right. We have sometimes shockingly sexist and homophobic and racist articles, and just all together unpleasant.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, the Breitbart of the North. They've been called before, referring to Breitbart News, which is kind of like was the kind of center of the alt-right's news sources for a long time in the U.S., although apparently they've started to slip off a little bit as they've kind of been rudderless since Steve Bannon left to go to the White House, and now he's left to, I don't know, return to the bog that he formed in or something. I don't know what he's doing with his time now that he's not there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't... We were talking before this. You don't know anything about what's been happening with Rebel Media in the last 2 weeks, do you?
No, I don't.
This is totally random. Just like with North Korea, folks, Jamie is... He's like the Rain Man of picking topical things. Like, he had no clue.
I am the octopus that chose the World Cup winner.
Yep.
I am the cat that chose the winning lottery ticket.
Yeah, you are the groundhog that saw its shadow.
I can tell, Yeah, when the wind is blowing, when the wind is blowing.
So if you want to invest in Jamie's predictive abilities, please send us $25. We'll use it wisely. We're taking the Rebel Media's subscription, their crowdfunding model for the purposes of this podcast.
Yeah, if you send us $20 to $25, you have a membership to all of our stuff. And if you send us another $25, we'll tell you some really crazy shit.
Yeah. Whatever you want. What's like a Mad Libs? Tell us what your neighbor's name is, people who have wronged you, movies you don't like. We'll weave it all into a tale of conspiracy and woe.
I do want to get something clear, though. The truth is that the reason I chose Ezra Levant is because I watched the Justin Trudeau and that Brazo boxing fight on YouTube.
He was
commentating on it, and he was driving me so fucking nuts. I kept thinking, who is this guy with this annoying voice and who is just like lambasting Trudeau? Not that Trudeau is above lambasting, but lambasting him like at a charity boxing match for no reason. And lo and behold, it turned out to be Ezra Levant.
Yeah. So Rebel Media is a Canadian very right-wing news organization that has grown to global prominence now. And Rebel Media started out of the ruins of the Sun News Network, which was the Sun chain of newspapers' attempt to create like a Fox-style 24-hour news network that would be like right-wing conservative news. Now, for those of you who aren't Canadians, in every major city in Canada, there's a newspaper called the Sun, and they're all owned by the same company, Sun Media, I think. And they are like the shitty, crazy right-wing paper in every city. So they're like, when Donald Trump had his big, weird, shitty meltdown press conference the other day where he was saying all this incoherent crap and everyone was making fun of him. Like, in Toronto, the Sun News had, like, a story about, like an old lady who got robbed at an ATM on their front page. You know what I mean? And like then the second anything to do with Justin Trudeau even happens, he's on the front page. But, you know, when anything newsworthy that doesn't fit into a right-wing narrative or makes the right-wing look bad at all comes up, you won't find it anywhere to be found.
Slow news day. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, it also still has, like, pictures of scantily clad women in it.
The
Sunshine Girls. Yeah, that's like a main draw of the Sun newspaper.
I remember when I was in junior high and high school, I had some friends, and that was an aspiration of theirs, was to be Sunshine Girl.
Yeah, but they had... Ironically, they all settled to be nuclear physicists instead, right?
Idiots.
Yeah. I should actually say, too, one of the few exceptions to this rule is in my hometown of Vancouver, the Vancouver Sun was actually, like, the legit paper. So it is the real paper. It already had that name. And the Vancouver province is the, like, shitty paper. Although I'm not sure if it is owned by Sun Media or not.
Confusing.
Anyway, but everywhere else, like Toronto, Hamilton, Calgary, Edmonton, the blank Sun is the shitty paper, and they tried to make their own version of Fox News basically in 2011 or 10. And if you're American, you're listening to this, you're like, somebody tried to start a Fox News? Like, yes, that's the kind of people we're dealing with here. There were people who thought that there was like a massive left-wing bias in the Canadian media. They tried to start their own Fox News. It was like a huge failure, essentially. But their sort of banner guy, or the guy who came to be the most associated with the Sun News Network, was this guy named Ezra Levant. And Ezra, after Sun News imploded, decided he could do his own thing using a crowdfunding model and create his own media platform, which he did, called it Rebel Media. And they started out kind of exactly where Sun picked up in terms of just publishing like anti-Trudeau stuff, generally anti-Liberal Party, anti-NDP, anti-Ottawa stuff. You know, it has kind of an Alberta... Ezra's a Calgary boy. He's an Alberta boy, and he definitely has the Alberta attitude towards politics and Ottawa, the federal government, in that, you know, they're deeply suspicious of the federal government. Right. So they kind of started there, you know, pro-oil sands. But then very quickly, you know, the common narrative is that Ezra followed the clicks, heavy air quotes, and more they started to become attached to what's called the anti-jihad, which is like the global movement of people in the West who think that Muslims are trying to take over all of our societies and instill Sharia law on everything.
Right.
And now, I mean, as of last week, Rebel Media, their YouTube channel is the number 50 on Earth. It's like in the top 50 largest YouTube channels in the world.
Wow.
They have over 800,000 YouTube subscribers, and they're very plugged into this global internet network of the anti-jihad. Almost like nowadays, like there's daily multiple topics usually about Islam or Muslims. And then along with that, they folded in kind of many of these like burgeoning voices of the alt-right. They have a movement in the UK, and in the UK, their contributors come from places like groups like the English Defence League, which is like kind of like soccer hooligans who hate Muslims.
Yeah, yeah.
And in Canada, their contributors were famously people like Faith Goldie is one of them, who's, you know, famous for her tirades against Muslims, and her catchphrase is Deus Vult, which is like a phrase that crusaders used in the 11th century when they were like fighting to take the Holy Land back from Muslims, which
is a time
all anxious to get back to, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And another guy's Gavin McInnes, who
has a good mustache.
Well, he has
a mustache.
I don't know. It's certainly like a robust mustache.
Yeah, he looks like a guy that makes like Dr. Pepper out of his basement.
Yeah, definitely. He's so fascinating because he's like, people call him sometimes like the godfather of hipsterdom, and I would kind of believe that. Like, he's like, he looks like what an Alberta person fears a hipster looks like, but he also like is a member of the alt-right, so he like kind of became increasingly weird and anti-Semitic, and we've watched some of his stuff before for our own research, the alt-right safari. Anyway, he just started basically folding in these increasingly crazy anti-Muslim voices, and that also, with that came a certain drift into neo-Nazism and white supremacy, but for a long time, they were sort of the darlings of Canada's right. I think people on Canada's right, like Canada's mainstream right in the Conservative Party, were sort of happy there was a totally not left at all press source. Even though, honestly and truly, I know that Conservatives think that there's a left-wing bias in Canadian media, but the honest truth is that I see a pretty hefty right-wing bias in Canadian media because so many of the people who own Canadian newspapers are like millionaire business owners, and that's just where their interests are. They're just generally a little bit conservative. So maybe they're not Muslims, all Muslims are evil, oh God, I hope the Crusades start again level of right-wing, but they are more right-wing than left-wing a lot of the time. At least that's how I seem to see it.
Right. And Rebel Media is sort of a... if I was a conservative politician, I would think maybe Rebel Media is a cool idea because it's getting young people
jazzed
on the right.
Well, certainly a certain amount of young people read it, but the wisdom is that their subscriber base is actually really old.
Uh-huh.
It's like a lot of your grandparents and their grandparents' friends kind of who are their big subscriber base and who are the ones supporting them. And
grandparents are dead, Richard.
I hate to tell you this, Jamie. Ezra Levant is a necromancer.
I knew it.
Yeah, he's raised them up, and they are enthralled to him. Dozens of our dead grandparents are in a pentagram shape in a basement, praying to him at this moment.
Ezra Levant. He looks like the opposite of a necromancer.
Yeah, it's true. He does not look like a necromancer.
Yeah, he looks like a cartoon version of. He looks like a character that Dilbert would have to impress.
Yeah, totally. He looks like if you poured aging serum onto like the annoying kid from high school debate team who like always wanted to be in the Conservative Party when he was like 15 years old and who like wore a fucking tie to class every day, and you just poured aging serum on him and his personality was exactly the same, but he suddenly was like a 45-year-old man. That's what he looks like to me.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion and not an objective fact about
Ezra. Right, but it is still an objective fact that he picks his butt and eats his poop.
Ezring. So that's what Rebel Media is. Now, it's funny that you decided to pick this topic because of this video you watched, because Rebel Media is imploding as right. we speak. They are in the most serious crisis that they've ever been in since they were founded.
Wow, this podcast moved fast.
I know, right?
Yeah,
and there's even developments today. Like hope maybe by the time this episode comes out, you know, Vice Canada Land, they'll all have talked about it, but I haven't seen any. It's too early. Like, literally today, the Rebel posted a big update that I want to talk about. So it's just you're getting my analysis of it off the dome today, everybody. But okay. So the Rebel Media started this crisis. It started with the Charlottesville protests of a few weeks ago. And Jamie and I just watched the Vice documentary Charlottesville Race and Terror, which I recommend everybody watch. Just worth a watch. It's really haunting, and
it filled in a lot of gaps for me, actually. Yeah. You know, I tend to watch everything with a certain level of cynicism, I find.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, when I want... I sort of always watch something and I think, the person who made this wants me to feel a certain way about it. And I felt that way about the whole Charlottesville thing. Mm-hmm. I've you know, watched in horror and read in horror what was going on, but I sort of thought, you know, there's gotta be more to this story. And the Vice documentary filled it in a horrifying way.
Yeah, it's just worth a watch. If you're sort of unsure about exactly what happened in Charlottesville, or you have friends who are unsure, or anyone who wants more information about it, I really recommend this Vice documentary. It's available for... They made it available for free.
Yeah. I guess I want to be a bit more clear that I think, like, when I was reading about what was happening in Charlottesville, the whole time I was thinking, like, who organized this? Mm. And, like, is that... You know, the car accident is like, the car attack was like a horrible, horrible thing that happened. Hey, Dolores. Dolores is all of a sudden energized, dog. And she has something to say.
My dog is, up on Jamie's leg, looking lovingly at him, asking for pets.
You are nice, but I'm talking about something dark.
She's trying
dark.
To make us feel better because we're talking about something dark.
Anyway, I couldn't help but think the people that organized it, did they sanction that attack, or was, like, you know what I mean? Was this a lone person acting out of a clearly violent, horrible ideology, but was it a single person's fault? And this documentary shows the people that organized the thing, and they are horrible people.
Yeah, and it's clear that even if it is a single person making the decision to attack those protesters, that movement of the neo-Nazis is very much a movement that says the people who oppose us are filth and animals and we should kill them all.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're being told that.
Yes, 100%. And I couldn't have believed it until I saw the documentary. Check it out.
Right. So
also, Vice, you interested in a cool new podcast?
Yeah, hey, pick us up, Vice. We'll fucking explain shit for you guys anytime, yeah. Vice.
Imagine what we could do together.
Yeah. So Rebel Media has always flirted with these people on the alt-right. Like, I mean, flirted is, like, the wrong word. These people had fucking moved their shit into the house. They were fucking group orgies. But from the outside, it seemed that Rebel Media was maybe just courting them. And there was a certain wink, wink, nudge, nudge they could do and pretend that they didn't endorse full white supremacy and full neo-Nazism. They were always kind of bobbing and weaving, and there's all these rhetorical arguments they would employ to kind of just distance themselves from being like the people we saw in the documentary who are saying, oh yeah, of course we're going to murder all the fucking black people.
Right.
That kind of thing. For example, one of the common things you hear is they're saying, oh, we're not criticizing Muslims. We're criticizing Islam. It's different. We're not saying you need to Muslims are dangerous. We're saying Islam is a dangerous idea,
right,
and that it's antithetical to Western values, right? Which is a weird pedantic point,
yeah,
but it's the kind of thing they use to distance themselves from feeling any sense of responsibility for inciting people to fear and violence, right? Anyway, so they'd been doing this wink, wink, nudge, nudge for a long time, even as they were drifting farther and farther and farther into the right. And even recently as when the conservatives were having their, like, leadership race, so that was only 4 months ago, major conservative politicians, including Andrew Scheer, who became the leader, including Kelly Leach, who, you know, was the our fake Donald Trump, except worse in every possible way and lamer.
I'm Kelly Leach, and I'm running for the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada.
Yeah, like, not only is she racist, but she's so shitty at her job.
Just so uncool.
Yeah, so, but they went on Rebel Media. They gave interviews with Rebel Media. They appeared at Rebel Media events, mm-hmm. right? Because Rebel Media is a hugely useful thing for the Conservative Party. And it had still enough, even though people knew it was bad, its image had not been linked closely enough. They had managed to avoid full linkage to this white supremacist movement. And I think they'd managed to dodge a lot of people thinking they were really dangerous and irresponsible and on the wrong side of it, truly on the wrong side of everything. Certainly people who are watching them,
right,
like myself, did feel that way. But I think for the average person, if you ask them about Rebel Media, they might think of them, they were like, oh, they're like Fox, right? They might still think of them as kind of being like, oh, they're right-wing news. I know they're a bit crazy, but I don't really pay attention to them. But no, they'd gone much farther than that. And they'd even started drifting into pretty heavy anti-Semitism too. Like Gavin McInnes released a video a few months ago called like 10 Reasons That I Hate Jews. I mean, that's pretty clear. and Faith Goldie too had been talking about, had done videos saying pretty anti-Semitic things. Ezra Levant himself is Jewish and he has used that throughout literally his entire career from when he was like a teenager with the Reform Party in Alberta, who were like, you know, right when we were kids, they were the first right-wing splinter party. He had been kind of like their Jewish shield guy. Like whenever people accused the Reform Party of being anti-Semitic, right, Ezra Levant would get up and be like,
look,
he'd be
over
like,
here.
Excuse me, I am Jewish, and I am a part of this movement, so isn't it crazy that these people are saying that they're anti-Semitic? what fools they are! Right, like, that was kind of his part of his shtick for a long time. And so he could shield them from that for a long time. But it was kind of in Charlottesville that this all started. Faith Goldie, who's one of their contributors, was literally in the crowd of counter-protesters doing a like live stream, and she was kind of like snarkily talking about how she's complaining about how the police, that, you know, there's no permit for the counter-protest, but they let them mobilize anyway, and blah, 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 blah. And she happened to be literally standing right where the car hit in the crowd. Literally, she is right there. And the video is actually really sad in a lot of ways because for about 5 minutes, Faith Goldie is a human being.
Right.
And it's like, I actually found this like really devastating and, like I said, sad. It almost made me hopeful in a way that these people are not lost forever, because for a minute she's just really worried and freaking out. And at one point she even tells someone, she's like, it's okay, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. She like, you know, yells for a medic to come help people. And then she's kind of describing what's going on. She's clearly very, very shaken up.
Yeah.
Then after about 5 minutes, she starts saying, you know, like, oh, this wouldn't have happened if the cops had been here to shut this down, basically. And then since then, she's shut the gate, kind of. And
right.
The narrative now on the right says that there are many people who say that this was a deliberate attack by the left to make the Nazis look bad. Again,
but the Nazis kind of disputed that.
Yeah, I mean,
in the video,
watch the video, guys.
When they're like high-fiving each other and being like, well, I'd call that a win.
Yeah, yeah. So watch the documentary.
It's going to be hard to top that one.
Anyway.
Which he said.
He literally said. So Faith Goldie was there. And because she was there and because she captured like some of the, like literally the side angle of the car hitting the crowd is her footage.
Yeah.
Because she captured that, it just created this horrible link, this really clear link between this violence and Rebel Media that I think brought a lot of heat to them. And Ezra claims that he had asked Faith not to go down there and told her not to go down there, but she went anyway. Anyway, basically after that point, there was so much mainstream outrage over Charlottesville that there was a lot of bad attention directed at the Rebel, and they're having a very bad week, Jamie. There's like many things happening to them at once, and this is one of them. So,
right.
After this, there's been a kind of concerted effort for a long time from people in Canada to get companies to pull their internet ads from the rebel. And apparently there was a huge spike after the Charlottesville thing, and the number is now like 300 major companies have requested that their ads stop appearing on the rebel. So that's one thing that happened. Another thing that happened was Brad Lilly, who's one of the other founders of Rebel with Ezra, formally severed all ties with them, saying like, this has gone too far, I'm not a part of this alt-right thing, you know, because they were just too close to the Nazis at this point. You know, Faith Goldie was in the crowd basically articulating the positions of the Nazis, which is what she's been doing, and the white supremacists, which is what she's been doing all along in all of her videos, but she was literally there.
And now, but yeah,
when someone one, there was fucking got murdered.
A giant exclamation point on what she said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, you're literally, like, basically, the oh no, we're just putting ideas out there. We're not inciting violence against anybody. What, don't we have free speech? All of a sudden, the logical consequences of the ideas that they were articulating were literally all too clear. And I think a lot of people got fucking spooked. So this guy, Brian Lilly, he jumped ship. Rebel Media has a cruise. Like, they planned a cruise with, like, Rebel Media personalities and, like, alt-right speakers that people could buy tickets to. And it was run through Norwegian Cruise Lines. And
what are the odds that we can get on that cruise?
Well, unfortunately, there's zero because Norwegian completely canceled it. They just said, this isn't happening.
Those goddamn Norwegians.
I know, those fuckers.
God damn it. How awesome would that have been?
If we had gone
explain
on the Rebel
it to
Media
Jamie
cruise.
On the road, we go to the Rebel Cruise.
If we crowdfunded enough money, we could take the Rebel Cruise. We could go to North Korea. We could do all these things, guys. Hey, you know, let us know if you would help fund that. We would go.
But it would be the best to record like on an unrelated topic.
Oh, yeah.
Just in those places. Yeah. So like
we just get some random people to be guests with us
on the Rebel Cruise. We're like explaining like.
Yeah.
Napoleon.
We could do like drunk. What if we did like drunk history, but with people on the Rebel Cruise? Like, we went to the bar and we like bought them a bunch of drinks and then we started rolling and we were like, okay, explain to us what you think happened in the Vietnam War.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, if you got $5 or $10.
Unfortunately, if you have $5 or $10 billion, tell us, we'll invent a time machine, we'll stop Faith Goldie from going to the protest, the Rebel Cruise will continue, and then we will go on it and record this funny segment.
That's right.
Yeah, so that happened. The cruise was canceled. And then also, one of their domain hosts just stopped directing traffic to their website, and they were completely down across half of the world for like days, because I think they got spooked too.
Now, through all of this, did Ezra continue to eat his own poop and pick his bomb?
I mean, if the man's not Ezring, what is he anymore? If he, you know, if in a time of trouble, I imagine, if anything, Ezra would Ezra as hard as he possibly could, you know. You gotta keep routine, you know. You gotta self-care. It's important. Ezra, take a break, man. You know,
just be yourself for a bit.
Just go three knuckles deep, man. Like, really, don't hold back. Don't hold back. You know, it's Ezra time right now. Don't be afraid to pamper yourself a little bit. So that's like...
So lots going wrong.
A bunch of people are just jumping ship. Also, Barbara Kay, who's a horrible Canadian journalist, whose son, Jonathan Kay, is also a horrible Canadian journalist.
But they've got such a kitschy name.
I know. but she jumped ship as well. She said, I don't know, they've drifted too far for the right for me. She was like, I still think they're great, but I'm not going to be part of it anymore, which is the wrong thing to say, but that is what she said.
Right.
And then also, Press Progress in Canada started doing this pretty smart thing where they immediately started going to conservative politicians and were like, will you go on the record and say you won't appear on Rebel Media anymore? And lots of conservative politicians did say that, including Andrew Scheer, the current conservative leader, said, no, I'm not going on there anymore. Even though in March he said they were on his must-read list. Like, he read them every day.
Whoa.
So a lot of people, clearly the heat has gotten too high for many more mainstream figures, and they're all jumping ship.
Right.
At the same time...
But just because they're jumping ship on, like, association doesn't mean that they still don't buy in.
Right. But we're not done yet with Rebel Media's very bad amount of time.
Okay.
That is true. We shouldn't trust these people. These people are immoral.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're being duplicitous, definitely. At the same time, Faith Goldie then, after the Charlottesville protests, went on the Daily Stormer, which is a Nazi website, 100% Nazi website. We saw one of their guys.
How can you tell? They call their reporters troopers, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And one of their guys is in that documentary we just watched.
Yeah.
She went on one of their podcasts to talk about Charlottesville. And during that, the end of that podcast segment, they made a bunch of Jew jokes about Ezra Levant.
Wow.
And then he fired her.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Faith Goldie, who's one of their, you know,
did she main like realize that he was going to fire her if she did that? Like, was this like a fuck it moment, or was this like an oopsie?
I honestly have no idea. Oopsie,
that's such a stupid thing.
I have no idea what the like personal dynamic is between them at all. But literally the day he fired her, she tweeted this thing where she's like, "Ezra's the best boss ever. Oh, he's so great." And she was like a bullet point list of reasons she loves Ezra as a boss. And then literally he fired her that day.
Wow, that's probably a chicken or the egg, though. You know what I mean?
Could be.
Like, yeah. She goes on the Daily Stormtrooper podcast. Then talks about he does all this Jew stuff, and then and then like next day, you know, it's like, yeah, like, "Hey, sweetie, I brought you roses."
Yeah,
and
it could be
chocolates,
like,
and I'm taking you out for dinner tonight. Also, I'm wanted at 7 states for the murder of a whole family.
Yeah, she might have seen that like the writing was on the wall, and that she would not be able to keep making the content that she had been making up to that point. You know what I mean? And so she maybe dug her own grave on purpose. That's possible too. But then also, word came out Gavin McInnes has been recruited by another organization. He's leaving too. So at this point, they've lost 4 major contributors to the Rebel.
Wow.
Tons of their advertisers on their site, which is not a significant part of the, you know, click-throughs are not a huge part of the revenue, but it's part of the revenue. And they lost their crews, which probably was going to be a lot of revenue for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was more. One of their guys in the UK, because they have a small but popular team of video makers in the UK who had just been fired, but totally under the radar, released this video where he basically said Ezra Levant offered him hush money in order to keep him silent about the way the finances at Rebel Media go down. And what he said was, he kind of said out loud something that a lot of people had suspected, including me, for a long time about the way Rebel Media operates,
right,
which is that Rebel Media...
I had also suspected it, but I was... it was in the same capacity at which I chose this topic.
Are you going to say Ezra is secretly Smaug the dragon who lives in the lonely mountain and they're funded entirely by his pile of treasure?
I wasn't going to, but that's better than what I was going to say.
What were you
going to
say?
Nothing.
Nice. Basically, Rebel Media isn't just a video platform. It also operates like a political party or like an activist group, and it does all kinds of things. Like, it's always raising money. You've probably noticed this. We've talked about this a couple of times when we've talked about Rebel Media, but this is how all these puzzle pieces fit together. Rebel Media is always crowdfunding money for stuff, and either it's like, I remember literally when they had their big rally in February, which is supposed to be like an anti-M103 rally, which is the stupid thing that conservatives have glommed onto and anti-Islam people have glommed onto in
Canada.
M103? Yeah.
What is that?
So M103 is a parliamentary motion that was proposed 2 weeks after the Quebec mosque shooting.
Right.
That basically just said the government of Canada condemns Islamophobia in all forms.
I thought anti-M was in reference to anti-M from
The Wizard of Oz. No, it was not. No, they're against this parliamentary motion. Motions are okay. Parliament can do a couple of different things in Parliament. They can pass bills, which are laws, mm-hmm. right? But then they can also pass motions. And when the government passes a motion, it's basically like the government of Canada's Facebook status. All right. It is it's like the government says this, everybody. Like, so it's like the government passes a motion that Israel shouldn't bomb civilians in Gaza. It doesn't mean anything. They're just saying that. It's like a gesture.
Right.
So when the government passes a motion saying Islamophobia is bad, all they're doing is essentially asserting their position. They're signaling their position. But there's no
legal reaction.
And there's,
or
yeah, what? And to and to show that they're doing something often. You know, it's like a quick thing they can do without passing a law, because emotion has no binding force whatsoever. It doesn't do anything. Mm. But a lot of people on the right have been freaked out by this M103 thing because they think it's the start of Sharia law in Canada. They think that it's like an attack on free speech, even though the Canadian Civil Liberties Union is like, no, this doesn't. Like, they're like, we literally defend Nazis in court for free speech, and because we believe everyone has the right to free speech, and this motion is nothing. Don't worry about it. Like, literally, right. But they still are worried about it. Anyway, there was a big rally for that, that the rebel, against that, that the rebel put on in February, and they had all their people on Twitter going, oh, we've been getting threats from leftist organizations. We need more money for more security. Right, that's so like that's an example of something they're crowdfunding for. They also crowdfunded for supporting Jordan Peterson, who is the university, the Ryerson University professor, who's like anti-trans, who's always in the news because he refused to use, he basically refused to switch gender pronouns or use neutral pronouns for people who wanted him to use them, and now he's become kind of like an alt-right icon for shit like that. They were raising money to support Iraqi Christians and things like that. Anyway, they have all these like crowdfunding campaigns for different things. And then they also sometimes ask for stuff like, help us make a video app, because YouTube demonetized a bunch of their videos, apparently.
Right.
Or help, you know, help us with website maintenance or stuff like that. So there's all these different campaigns. And what essentially this guy in the UK was being groomed by Ezra to raise money for stuff. And he was like kind of given the play. This is according to him. He put out a video. This is what he's saying. He was given the playbook about here's how you ask people for money. But then it turns out there's a disclaimer on their website that says, if we get more money than we need for one of these campaigns, we can use it for anything. Anything right. at all. So if you think sometimes if you think you're, and people have been pressing Ezra for information about what exactly this disclaimer means, but basically, once they have the money, they can use it for whatever they want. There's no guarantee that it's going to go to the charities that it goes to, right? And so, basically, it's a money-gathering operation as much as it's a news organization. And it's also, it's like a list-making organization. Like, they have all these petitions, and the petitions, what the petitions are ways of gathering tons of signatures that are like, oh, these people care about this issue. If it's like, let Justin Trudeau know you want the tar sands to be safe, it's not just a petition. It even says there was an email leaked where he says, we keep gathering names after we deliver the petition because the list is the real thing. Right. Then they sell the list to the Conservative Party. So they have all these emails and names of people across Canada and wherever who are interested in this particular issue. So they've been making money off selling people's information on these lists also.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ezra Levant is like Smaug the Dragon.
Yeah, I know, except with information instead of gold, and with money instead of gold. Now, this is the big thing of today is Ezra published a huge thing saying that he was saying, you
all
know
all is cool.
Yeah, he's saying, look, everyone, they really the left-wing media is really trying to kill us right now, and we've lost tons of our major contributors and tons of our backers and stuff like that. But I want to keep fighting, and I'll keep standing up as long as you keep supporting us. So we need money now, is what he's saying. So he's trying to crowdfund more money. But one of the things he also said is that he's like, I'm going to make crowdfunding transparency right now. And he released the crowdfunding numbers today, but it's very disingenuous. So I want you to, I just want to share this right now. This is literally published today. I'm sure by the time this comes out on Monday, Canada Land, etc., will have done great coverage of this. But here's my take on it. Just off the dome.
Yeah. And my take.
And Jamie's take. So Ezra writes, Rebel relies on crowdfunding model where thousands of ordinary people support it through small contributions. It is an independent media startup that receives no government funds whatsoever. No single donor gives more than 2% of Rebel's funds, and the average gift is $63. They do two types of crowdfunding for its own business and campaigns, and crowdfunding for external charities. He talks about what both of those are. He says, in the past fiscal year, the Rebel has crowdfunded $1.54 million for business operations, which nearly covers the $1.67 million in expenses associated with these costs. And then he says, our terms of service make it clear that if a particular project is oversubscribed, funds may be put towards other things. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. He also talks about how they also crowdfund for charities. That's not relevant to this because the evidence does suggest that when they crowdfund for charities, they do give the money to those charities. No one's accusing them of taking money they say is for the charities and giving it somewhere else. But then he released this very interesting other thing where he released all of the rebels' expense breakdowns, or what he says are the expense breakdowns. There's no receipts. There's just graphs. So these are what he says the numbers are. Mm-hmm. He basically breaks down how he got to it cost $1.6 million last year or whatever to make the Rebel. And then he says he raised one, and he has this graph. I'll literally turn this around and show it to you right now. It's what they crowdfunded versus what they spent to make the Rebel. And you'll see there's $122,000 deficit.
Yeah.
Right? So they crowdfunded $122,000 less than what they actually spent. Mm. So what it's trying to show you is that nobody's making money here. We came close to making the money with the crowdfunding, but we're not making any money. That's what Ezra's trying to tell us.
Right.
Ezra's being really dishonest here because all this is talking about is the crowdfunding they're doing through their campaigns, right? This graph, which says, look, we crowdfunded $1.5 million, our expenses were $1.6 million, and there's this red line in the middle where we didn't make enough money to pay our expenses, doesn't take into account all the other ways they make income.
Right.
So, A, it doesn't include their YouTubes, which, even though a lot of them are not heavily monetized, should still make them about $120,000 a year. So that's like the figure that I've seen for how many subscribers they have. And that came from the National Post. Thank you, National Post. Mm-hmm. Also, it has all of their expenses and only one of their income sources. So it would be like if you claimed all your expenses to the government, but only claimed your income from your Joe job and never talked about any of the acting you did.
Right.
Right. The Rebel is a subscription service.
That's interesting because that's the opposite of an actor.
Yeah, right.
They don't talk about their Joe job and they only talk about the acting.
Yeah, right. The Rebel, it's a subscription service. So they're not just making... The crowdfunding is not the only way they make money. There are people who pay $8 a month or $80 a year to get like premium content on the Rebel, and the estimate that I saw from Vice this week is that they make $1 million a year off subscriptions. So already this income side of this thing should be $1 million higher than their expenses.
Right.
And then on top of that, there's heavy evidence that they actually do get a shitload of money from anti-Islam think tanks, anti-Islam foundations, things like this. So at least some of their expenses are also being paid for by large right-wing organizations.
Right.
So they are actually taking in a shitload of money that are not their expenses from crowdfunding. And Ezra's attempt to make it look like the Rebel only needs a little more to break even is more of his money-making strategy. And he's very good at that. He's like good at riling up his base and making them feel like they need to intervene immediately. Anyway,
wow.
That's where we're at today.
How interesting.
Yeah.
And horrible.
I know. He's kind of a... I mean, this is my personal opinion and not an objective fact at all.
Like the fact that he eats his own poop and picks his butt.
Yeah, for example. it's an evil thing he's doing.
Yeah.
It's an honestly evil thing he's doing because there's no... there's no intellectual honesty in it whatsoever. And all the characterizations of him I've seen, and I think there was a very good long-form National Post article kind of about his whole background, but it seems like he's got an unbelievable work ethic and drive, and he's very smart, but he's not like a 12th-dimensional chess guy. He's not planning 10 moves in advance. He's planning like one move in advance, and so he tunnel visions in on just the next thing with a ruthless drive and is constantly achieving it, but he doesn't seem to have the capacity to step back and go, wait,
what am I doing?
Is this something I actually should be doing?
Well, I was going to say, when we first started talking about Sun News wanting to be the Fox News of the North.
Right.
And I was wondering, is that like, you know, I'm thinking more about our neoliberalism episode from last week. And I'm thinking, like, is it actually an ideological, like, are people that wild about right-wing political news that they're like, I got to start a news company? Or is it like, oh, no, there's a market for that because I can see the market in the States. I'd like to be the one in charge of Because when Sun News came out, like that big push to make it like the TV program and all that, it felt like reaching. It felt like they were spending a lot of money on advertising and not anything on like real content.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion as to why it failed. I don't know if there's like better facts on that, but I sort of watched it and was like, oh, this is like harmless because it looks so, it feels so needy.
Totally.
And is that a result of them being greedy and wanting to fill a market that that Fox News obviously makes lots of money in the States?
I would say yes, honestly. Like, Fox News won a court case in America that said it's not obligated to tell the truth.
Right.
So at that point, if your news, like, this is again, you can have a news organization that's on the books saying they're not obligated to tell the truth, which in theory is the service or product that a news organization is supposed to be giving to the people. But as long as it turns a profit with lies, there's no way to get rid of it. Right? Like, there's no way to get rid of it. Yeah. And that's crazy. That's neoliberalism out of control. The value, the true societal value is that, well, something can exist and should exist if it can make a profit, no matter, even if it's deeply immoral.
Right.
That's part of the problem with neoliberalism.
Wow.
I don't know with Ezra, I feel like we've reached the point where clearly the kinds of things he's saying are dangerous. They will lead to violence. They have led to violence. They've always been one or two, like several steps maybe removed from the violence in the past, but they were very close to it this time. The guy, that guy, fucking asshole guy who shot up that Norwegian island summer camp, remember that? Was like three or four steps removed from the intellectual world of the people who are on Rebel now. Like, there were connections to people who now contribute to the Rebel, loose ones, like, but he was clearly reading the same things that those people were reading.
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, it's like, it's such a horrifying thing. I didn't realize it was as international as it is.
Yeah, I know.
It's scary. But at the same time, it's good to see Canada doing a big thing in the world.
Yeah, I know. You know what? You gotta. Anytime there's people know a Canadian company, you gotta be kind of like rooting for it.
Right? Yeah.
Anyway, that's been the episode. Good work, Ezra. No. No, I also think there's something deeply dangerous, and this is like my weird notion here, but the Rebel trades entirely in outrage and fear, right? Their stance is always, this is something terrible that's happening and you need to be terrified and mad about it. And either it's Muslims are going to invade us and destroy our culture and, you know, impose Sharia law on you, and Muslim men are trying to rape all of your, you know, wives and daughters or whatever. Like an example is, even if that's a heinous lie, like an example is, I mean, that is a heinous lie, but Faith Goldie did a story saying that there were different gun registry laws for Muslims in Canada than for everyone else, because there's a law that says you have to get a photo for a gun registry, but if you have like a religious practice that prevents you from uncovering your face, you don't have to get it. And so they were like, but then they were told they were explicitly told before the story ran, oh no, that law is from like decades ago, and it was for the Hutterites, who were like a Christian minority who had facial coverings or something. That's why that law was created. It's not a Muslim law. It's been around for a long time. But they still filed a story that was like, Muslims have a different gun law than Canadians, with none of that context. And at that point, they are misleading everybody.
Right. They must have changed that law, though, right?
No, the law, I think, is still in the books.
So you can get a photo taken with the face covering?
I don't think you have to get the photo taken at all if you say, I have a religious observance that I don't need to have a photo for.
Wow.
I think that's the law.
I don't know.
This story was only filed a few months ago. Right. I don't think they've changed it since then.
I mean, I don't agree with them on a lot of stuff, but I kind of think I kind of take a little bit of umbrage.
But like, there's an interesting lot of studies about like the brain chemistry of fear and anger and what it does. I mean, a lot of the studies, to be honest, are on children and how it... Basically, if you're a child in an environment where you're constantly being stressed out or made to be afraid or angry or threatened with your own life, there's like serious implications for how your brain chemistry is changed and how your brain forms. And you lose your empathy. Like, your empathy centers become suppressed if you're constantly in a state of fear, because the chemical reaction your body receives when you're afraid or angry is designed for you to suppress your empathy and run or fight.
Or fight.
Right? The fight or flight response.
Well, it's like what I was talking about with the Malcolm Gladwell book, where as soon as you fire a gun or in a situation where you have to fire a gun or a gun has been fired, you become temporarily autistic.
Right.
Like, and by autistic, he means incapable of reading people's faces and emotions. And just two units in a box.
Yeah, and the rebel media is serving our, you know, friends and family members and stuff, this like daily pipeline of fear and outrage, right? And if that is your primary news source, how can you not be, like, your brain will begin to change chemistry, like, honestly. And I'm not a fucking brain scientist, but this is a true thing. If you're constantly under stress, it's a really, really unhealthy thing, and it has serious implications for all of your health, your mental health and your physical health. Mm-hmm. And this is, the rebel media is trading in this. It is telling people that they are in danger from Muslims and, you know, social justice warriors and whoever, and that they need to strike back against them by giving the rebel money. But the honest truth is that the byproduct of this ideology and this way of doing business is that people will die. There will be violence because there's no success with the rebel media. You know what I mean? Being the underdog is their financial model. And so, like this fucking guy in Charlottesville, like all of these guys, eventually you have to keep blaming somebody else for your own problems. Your world's not going to get better, right? Like, they have to keep having threats in order to keep making money. And so eventually, like, people will keep snapping. I honestly really do think that's going to happen. This is a dangerous ideology. I think the rebel media is not dead. It maybe will not retain its current form, but Ezra will never go away. He will never go away in our lifetimes. As long as he lives, he will be making a comeback.
Not until we make a band of hobbits and dwarves and travel the long, long road through the woods.
That's right.
And find him in his castle and defeat him.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure there's a part of him that just wishes he could be three knuckles deep in his own butt, just taking it easy all the time. But sadly, he doesn't live in that world. He's called to action. He has to rise and fight against the hostile forces in our society.
Yeah.
No, he'll never go away. He never will. He's never been silent his whole life, and I don't see him starting now. Even if the whole thing implodes, even if he has to get rid of rebel media in this form, he will not go away. And we will be dealing with him as part of our discourse forever, as long as he's alive. So, I mean, we all have to get educated about it and really learn how to talk to the people in our lives who consume this stuff. And I think that's really important. It's a theme that I've said a couple times when we've talked about him. But in the past, but if you know somebody who reads The Rebel or who receives information from The Rebel, you have to, especially if it's somebody that you love, who you can have these conversations with. I really, really, really have to stress that you have to start trying to bring them back to reality, because this stuff is not founded in reality. It is untrue. A lot of it is lies, and it's dangerous. And those people are at worst destroying the empathetic parts of their own human spirit and vilifying an entire billion people in the world who do not need to be vilified. And at worst, they're heading for danger and hostility and violence. Like, that's the worst case scenario, but it is one that is playing out in front of us. So, you know, pay attention to what your grandparents are listening to.
Do, 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 do,
yeah.
Do, do, do. Wow.
Yeah. Well, can you believe you picked this week to ask about rebel media? They're having a shit week.
I can't even believe it. I'm also shocked that you're not a brain scientist, because next week I was going to ask you to explain brain science.
Well, we'll see. I'll get my fucking brain science degree at Trump University over the weekend, and then I will be a brain scientist, baby.
Yeah, that ought to solve that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I think I've learned enough about Ezra Levant for one day.
Haven't we all?
As always, if you have a comment, if you want to get in on the conversation, a question, feel free to fire it our way. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We have a Gmail. explainittojamie@gmail.com. We're generally on Google. So if you have a suggestion for a topic, if you have something you want us to hit in a future alt-right safari,
yeah.
Or if you just want to give us props and tell us we're doing a good job, send us the thing, and we'd love to read it.
Thanks to everybody. It was a really fun week for people reaching out and getting in touch with us. So thanks to everyone who recommended the podcast. Thanks to everyone who shared it with a friend. Please keep doing that. It really helps us out. Leave us a review on iTunes. That helps us out too. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Until next time, stay vigilant, stay strong. I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
This has been Explain It to Jamie.
Woo!